public documents regarding the two items, and that would be the petitions, the responses from the university, et cetera. Our office doesn't take a position. We act as records keeper. The one item I haven't uploaded was a letter from Earth Justice 3 or 4 days ago asking when it will be considered. So, and that will be uploaded.
Be considered, sorry?
That would be the petition by the Monica Hui to reopen the contested case on the 30 meter telescope. Right. Okay. And that, those are all in the online library that we keep.
I would like to be privy to information on that as it arises.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that.
I find that the Attorney General's office is a big black hole, and contested cases are noted, but we never find out what happens after it's contested, and I'd like to get a little handle on that.
The best I can do is tell you that in these cases, I'm a records keeper.
So the records cases and status.
Okay. And board member Char, I think your comment is received.
We got it.
Hopefully we'll have an update at the next land board meeting on March 11th, and we'll go into executive session March 10th to provide the board an update on the status of all litigation involving Mauna Kea.
And thank you for the image.
Oh, yeah.
Does everybody see the image?
Did
we all see it, Mr. Chair?
I did have one more question, and doesn't have to be answered here today. Has there been any discussions, you know, at CMS and maybe MCSO? I mean, it's early yet, surrounding satellite telescope?
You mean, we haven't had any of those discussions with the MCSO.
As an alternate, a totally different alternate than the 30 meter telescope.
I know that in the astronomy community, they've had those discussions.
Yeah.
Probably well above Greg's pay grade.
But it might be an alternative.
And I'm sure you're right. Yeah. And I suspect that's being considered, but good point. But I do want to thank you, Greg.
Sure.
I think that, member Kanto's suggestion about doing a site visit, you are moved. When I was working on Mauna Kea, it is a, you do, there's this very, it is a special kuleana that you feel when you're up there. And so we'll do that. We'll plan something in coordination with both Greg's office and the authority. But we'll do that. Maybe when the weather's a little bit better.
Chair, I know you're trying to wrap us up.
Last question, because we're going to leave.
I get it. I just wanted to get a quick, if you had an update, either of you on the NSF process timeline. It's mentioned in here that the TMT International Authority has paused the community payments while the NSF process is ongoing. Do we have a sense of what the NSF timeline is and when those would restart?
I don't know the timeline per se, but they did issue an announcement a couple of months ago that it's taking them longer to go through all of the comments they received when they did their scoping meetings last year on the Big Island.
Okay.
So I don't recall them saying, issuing a new sort of target date for when they would be done doing that.
But are they still paying the lease rent?
TMT continues to pay the lease rent.
Okay. And then just last question in terms of the timeline for the university's transition with the new authority. It sounds like you're sort of there as a partner for as long as it takes. Do you have a sense of how much time it's going to take to sort of bulk of responsibilities to be transitioned to the new authority?
The act actually calls for a 5-year timeline starting July 1st this year. So 2028, everything has to be done. course, that could be amended and extended, but could be done sooner. We actually would prefer for it to be done sooner. I think it would be better for everybody involved. But as you can see, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
For that reason, also, I think DLNR takes a position that during that 5-year transition period, until the authority has a capacity, because they currently have no paid staff. So it's really the goodwill of the stewardship and DLNR, because they're administratively attached to DLNR, our department is providing them support, both from personnel, fiscal. So I think we are all totally supportive of this authority, trying to stand them up, but recognize we cannot have a gap in authority. So we'll see what happens in this legislation, but at least that's DLNR's position, is pending this 5 years, we continue to have the authority, but we'll see what comes out in the legislation. And we'll try to agendize that and provide the board an update as we go along, including the status of litigation.
Thank you.
I think Colin has got the message too.
No, that's really a big ask, and it really needs to be directed to someone. Rest
assured, I will. I will send a request over to the supervising deputy attorney general. But thank you very much.
Sure.
You should leave before you can ask one more question. I see yeah, Riley getting ready.
Oh, good.
Riley.
What was that, half an hour ago?
Riley, 34-foot diameter, the mirror.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much again. And thank you for your patience, yeah, Greg,
thank you.
The presentation. Well done. Thank you so much.
Okay, can we move on to item C1?
Cut fence posts and trees because the road is only
C1?
Park Ranch. So they had to get right adventure from us to cut fence posts because this thing is all in piece.
All right.
So it goes off 3:45 crack.
Yeah, and we're gonna lose we're gonna lose board member Kaivi at 3:45. So that gives us an hour and a half.
Deadlines are good.
Deadlines are good. I know. I'm gonna have to stop asking questions. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, Michael.
All right. So Darlene, we're gonna look at item C1, which is with the Division of Forestry and Wildlife. Do we have staff here?
Yep, Peter Landon.
Okay, Peter, could you please present agenda item C1?
Yes, hi, good afternoon, Chair.
Mahalo.
So I believe so, item is before you continue a temporary closure at the Ahihi Kina'u Natural Area Reserve. And this is not a new item to the board, I guess. We've been perpetuating this closure since about 2009. The basis for it is resource protection. And then at this point in time, we're in the process of a new or a rules package for the Natural Area Reserve System rules that includes closing these areas via basically a map, right? Delineating what is currently closed. So people that aren't familiar with the closure, the first, I guess, third of the coastline is open for public access. And that's where our parking area is, and kind of like where the reserve boundary exists along the road. So that area is open for recreation, what have you. And that's where we've been sort of focusing human impacts and access for the last decade or so. The interior of the natural reserve is not suitable for public access for a variety of reasons. I think first and foremost would be UXO concerns. So we went through a federal process. It took a number of years, and there's some internal sort of administrative or social trails, one or two actual historic trails and things like that that were cleared, but those things access some of the most sensitive ecosystems in Hawaii, being the Ainkalai pools or ponds. Those are really sensitive, and you know, prior to closures and people were accessing that and treating it like a hot spring, as you can imagine, you know, rubbing mud on themselves and floating around in pool floaties and doing all kinds of things, as well as like leaving rubbish and, you know, relieving themselves in the area and things like that. So that kind of stuff, along with like just trampling of geology and archaeological features and things like that, prompted the closures. And then, you know, once we entered that CERCLA process for the UXO, we've continued the closures. We finished that about 4 years ago, and then continued the closures for resource protection, because in the time period that all this has been closed, we've noticed the, you know, the wildlife and things like that, namely water birds that wouldn't be able to use the Einkaline pool areas in the presence of people. So the more permanent solution to this, as I mentioned before, is the rules package that's moving forward. We just finished up our last public hearing on the matter. Public testimony period closes March 1st. So we're still taking comments on that, but we expect to come back to the board to submit that rules package for approval, which would alleviate the necessity for continuing this 2-year temporary closure that we're seeking now with the board. Trying to think of what else I might add just for background, but if anybody's got questions, I guess that might make it easier.
Board members, do you have any questions for Peter Landon?
I have a comment.
Yes, please.
So I'm very familiar with the location. Spent a lot of time down there at Ahiki now. Can you comment on the King's Trail and tell me if there's anything else going on further out there?
So yeah, the whole Apili Trail is beyond the current boundary of the Natural Area Reserve. It begins kind of where we end in the La Perouse area, County Ohio. And the whole Apili Trail goes out to Canayo, the official portion of it. It continues well beyond that. You can find the trail. But it's, you know, it's a Na'alehele trail. It's not one that is commercial, but it's one that they do manage. Things that are going on with that is the two parcels that comprise the parking area of Keone Ohio, and then about the first half of the bay out there. There's the Mackay parcel. That's the parking area. And then there's a more Malco parcel that's kind of a longer strip, goes about halfway down the bay. Those two parcels are being proposed as additions to the Natural Area Reserve, but they wouldn't be subject to this closure. And one of the reasons that we're processing the rules before the addition is because we don't want that land portion to be subject to the same rules, such as like the fishing gear restrictions and things like that. Those lands are being added to the Natural Area Reserve footprint as more of buffer areas to what is the core area of resource protection. And we currently manage that Keone Ohio area in a sense that we provide rubbish bins and porta potties and signage and things like that, as it's kind of the backside or backdoor access to the reserve. The southern area guys will jump in the water at the bay and then swim into Natural Area Reserve waters to you know, snorkel and look at the marine life and things like that. But if there's something else that you've heard of, maybe you can let me know, but that's kind of like future plans for the Keone Ohio and the first kind of state lands that would border the Ho'opili Trail. After that, the trail traverses ranch land, Ulupalakua Ranch, before it gets back to state unencumbered lands in Canayo.
Thank you for that. Okay. Peter, I've got two questions.
Sure.
One, I'd like to see in the land board submittal, the submit reference to just the public trust. To me, that's a really, you know, when you put down, it's the hierarchy of use policy, which directs DLNR to protect the resources first. that's really based upon the public trust doctrine. So just a reference to public trust, as I think that is a compelling basis upon which we close an area. It is for resource protection. And two, do you know if Uncle Bobby Lu'uwai, do they still have a PASH permit for Ahikina'u?
They don't have a current permit. His grandson, Mogul, is in the process of going through a renewal with us. But the senior Lu'uwai's, Robert, I believe, who's you're referring to, they haven't actually had a current permit since 2000. The most recent families in that lineage was the Kulolo Io. So, Uncle Les, before he passed, he had a current permit up until 2017, I believe. We've been in contact with his daughter, and she's expressed interest, but she's also in that same generation as Mogul. So they're kind of all been talking to each other, and they've identified the family members that want to carry on the permitting and the practice. Like I said, mostly the younger generation, that they were all young kids when their grandparents were taking them out there and things like that. So we've let them know that we're prepared to process the renewal.
I appreciate having that also in the submittal. I think that's a very important component. I think that's the only PASH permit that I'm aware of. And I think it's important that we recognize those who have lineal and cultural connections to the area. So, and if they're reaching out to you, or if you guys are reaching out to them, that's really good. But it also, for me, provides another legal basis upon which to recognize traditional customary practices in an area, one that's been used by families. So when we reference Ahi'ikina'u, I would like to see one, reference to the public trust doctrine, and then two, acknowledging that there are families who have a connection to this place. And so it is important that we are referencing them. But I appreciate the work that you guys are doing. It's very helpful. Any other questions?
So Peter, did you say that you're waiting to process, and you're just waiting for Mogul and Uncle Les's daughter to process?
Yeah, so the I guess we've talked with them a number of occasions. So yeah, the ball's in their court to actually submit their permit with their proposed activities. It's been 20 plus years.
Yep.
The climate is a little bit different resource-wise than when they processed the original permit. So it's our intention to take that permit back through the NARS Commission and then to the board for approval, subject to maybe tweaks with the bag limits or levels of take and things like that. And I just want to add that the reason for that permit process the way it is and the way it was is based on the take. The area itself gets a fair amount of use by school groups. There's other Native Hawaiian families that have approached us just to, view the Moana Kala village, for example. There's a really significant historic site right there in the reserve where you can find canoe hale and an actual well that people in Kanahena were using for fresh water. Really awesome stuff. And we don't deny that type of access. Something like that, usually staff-led. Like I said, school groups and things like that, we staff led. People that are familiar with the area access it via a volunteer opportunity. They'll go out and collect marine debris for the day. That's something that goes into our ledge report every year. We pull a fair amount. It's a kind of a never-ending chore to keep up with marine debris, especially in that area of the island. It collects a fair amount of rubbish. And so there are volunteer opportunities. There's other ways. The Sierra Club does a yearly outing. The Native Hawaiian Plant Society is another group. There's a fair amount of use in the area. It's just that being as remote and rugged as it is, and being the resources that are protected within the boundary, you know, with kind of a free for all access scenario as it was prior to this, it really opens up the resources to, you know, opportunistic poaching and, you know, a lot of damage is not really intentional either, but there's, you know, a lot of things that could be trampled. You know, the native Hawaiian still, the Io is an endangered species. It nests in those alkaline ponds, and in a matter of minutes, if they flee the nest, you know, the eggs can heat up to temperatures that kill their, you know, kill the embryos inside and things like that. So, I fully agree with the public trust, and we haven't had any comments thus far in disagreement with that, with the more permanent closure in the rule package. There's some other rules that they are a little bit more eye-catching to people, but in our
I really appreciate all that history, but I think, Peter, it's really important for us as a board when we're that there's real good documentation. The public trust provides us that kind of and it is a constitutional obligation on our part. But the Lu'uwai, the PASH permit, I mean, this is the only permit that I'm aware of that the department has approved. And I know it because I issued the permit when I was a deputy attorney general. So I know the work that Uncle Bobby went through, because otherwise you could not take. But his was truly for a cultural, it was to, you know, carry on the his ancestral connections. But it set forth in my mind a really good process, because he had to put in all of his ancestral connections to the place. So for me, that was a really good process for us to utilize as this issue is going to become much more, it will come to us more often, I suspect.
Thank all you. Right. Thank you, Chair. And, yeah. And just for the record, God bless Uncle.
Yes.
He passed away.
Yes. Yes.
When your Uncle Luoy. So God bless him and his ohana.
Mahalo. You're right. Manaka, do you want to say something? Why don't you come up?
That's not going to be any problem. You can't feel he has a problem.
Okay, wait. Okay, please introduce yourself.
I'm Manaka Singh, a concerned parent, grandparent, and a cultural practitioner as well.
But Uncle, you need to address us.
Yes, Madam Chair.
So you
no,
address
this us. Is the kind of problem we're having with these kind guys that running our practice. How come you guys let these kind guys do this? Now he had one cultural practitioner teaching his people, his family how to groom, and yet he didn't even go work with them.
Oh no, I think he's saying he is working with them.
No, he's not. He's actually staying over there waiting for them for come, like when Luna, you know what's on Luna? He's still over there waiting for them for come over there, begging him for do what they're supposed to be doing naturally.
So Uncle, that I appreciate you tell us what your comment is. He doesn't have to, you know, I think it's important.
Shame on that guy.
Well, you tell us what your comments are. Peter doesn't have to answer. But no, I
he
want
doesn't
you to,
have to answer.
Okay, but you tell us what your comments are. Appreciate you.
I don't like that. You know, that's the shame on the guy. What's the matter with him? He's supposed to be working with them. He talk about nice about the grandfather, but yet he don't working with the family.
Okay, I think that may not be what he's saying, but go ahead. Tell us, is there something else you wanted that you have a particular question about or comment?
Okay, that's my problem we're having with foreigners that come here that want to help us.
He's actually staff, but go ahead, Uncle.
Yes. No, that's what we're having with foreigners that come here. The Americans that come here want to help us. Okay. Shame on them.
Okay.
You know, they have to be Hawaiians to understand what we're going through. This guy, shame on him. And he worked with a good man. He worked with a good man. He should, like me, I show my children how to, you know, all my grandchildren, I show them what I wouldn't learn. And you know what I want to learn? The first thing I want to learn when I was taught how to go and harvest from the land, respect. Number one thing I want to learn was respect. respect everybody, everything around the land, respect the land. That's the number one thing I want to learn. This guy never learned that. He never learned how to respect people.
And okay, Uncle, I, you know,
because you know, Don, yep. When I go, you go let talk to the people in the land, talk to the landers. He's in Makaha. He gonna tell you every. When they talk about me, they talk nice things about me, because you know why? That's how I was brought up.
And Uncle, I don't think he is being disrespectful. I think Peter is trying to tell us all the things that are happening in Ahiki.
Did he work with? Did he go to the daughter, tell the daughter, look, sister, come talk to me. I know your grandfather. Hey, I can help you. Does he do that? He said no. He's still waiting.
And you know what? I really want you to tell me about your comment, not to criticize a particular staff.
Okay. This is my problem.
Okay, you tell me. Tell me.
This is my problem.
Okay.
With DLNR.
Okay.
We have people like this that are not helping us. They're supposed to be there. That's their job. Yeah, is to protect our resources. Yeah, that's the first job. He's supposed to protect our resources and not deny us how much we got to take. We're supposed to be able to take what we need. Now, me, I get plenty of family. So if I got to take more than one animal, I take more than one animal.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, when I look at this, that they get grumbling when I take more than one animal. But yet, what they do, they go kill the animals, okay. And then gone, they leave them.
Yeah.
They leave the animals that I could take and give them to people that go and eat them.
You know what, Uncle, I'm gonna ask you if you can provide us a comment about this particular item, because I know you have concerns about gathering and impact. So about so this
what
particular
item. Like, what I would like to see.
All right.
Yeah, what I would like to see. Is for us to be able to grab the calamine, is to harvest what we need to harvest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I like.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like to be recognized. Yeah. I like to be respected. Mm-hmm. Because when I go in any island, not just Oahu, I go on Molokai, I go on Maui, I go on the big island. I go on Kauai.
Okay.
But now, from what I'm listening, I only can go, they wanted me only to go on Waianae.
Okay, now remember, and Uncle, we'll talk about this item. Okay.
And they only wanted me to hunt on Waianae side of the Waianae Mountain.
Okay.
How come?
Okay, you know what, Uncle?
But I wasn't born in Waianae. I was born Kali.
Okay, but so, what about this particular item, Ahihikina'u?
Okay.
I have family
on Maui.
Okay.
My father was born on Maui.
Okay.
Yeah. We come. Well.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
We're not commoners. Okay. My dad is not a commoner. Yeah. So it's not, and I'm not pushing my dad. Okay, but I'm amazed that that the state today is trying to kill the food we're putting on that we depend on. As you know, all our food today is coming in on the boat.
And you know, Uncle, I'm going to ask you if you can summarize your comments about
this is my summary.
Okay, thank you.
This is my summary.
Thank you.
All our food is coming in on the boat.
Okay.
Yeah. If you folks do not protect our food and our resources, our future generations are going to starve.
Okay.
If you look at today, all our homes on Oahu cost $1.1 million. Yeah. So the jobs that we have today,
okay,
we cannot afford to feed our families.
And I alone.
So what I'm asking the board, you folks, are to protect our resources.
All right.
And our resources are the pigs, the goats, and the deer that we depend to put on our tables.
All right.
And I'm asking you folks, don't put a limit on us.
All right.
Because the way things are going, sometimes we have to kill more than one animal to supply the needs
I'm going to ask you this time, Paul, 3 minutes. I appreciate you always coming to our meeting and sharing your mana'o with us. I greatly appreciate that. And I think we understand what you're, you know, where you're coming from. You want us to protect the resources so you can gather. But thank you so much. So if that's okay, if you can, be Paul, is that okay?
Well, you know, yes, ma'am. But I also want to tell you guys that I'm also worried about the ocean.
Okay, okay.
Because now they can shoot us.
But you know, okay.
Just let you guys know that if you guys are not going to tell these people that we can go on the reef and gather what we need to gather, our children will be shot.
All right. Okay, thank you very much, Uncle. Always appreciate you being here.
Those are the things that I'm concerned about.
Okay.
And you guys are the ones that can help us.
Nope.
And that's why I'm here.
Okay.
And that's my concern.
Mahalo.
I'm sorry that I'm not, just please don't take it personal. I'm not a violent person. I'm just frustrated because I have a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I'm going to leave this world pretty soon. And can trying to make it better for them.
Uncle, can we go to the, can we?
I'm sorry. Okay.
Mahalo. Thank you. No, thank you. Always appreciate it.
Please forgive me.
No need forgiveness. Thank you so much. Okay, do I have a...
Peter,
she's gonna ask the staff. Thank you, Uncle.
But I think this is relevant to the comments we just heard, which is it does sound like the process for families to retain PASH rights is somewhat arduous. And so I'm just wondering whether staff has any thoughts about how to make that easier or more automatic in terms of how you think about setting defaults. So, you know, for example, rather than requiring people to come to you and reapply, have you thought about ways to sort of help those kinds of rights more automatically sort of renew? Or I'm just curious if you've thought a little bit outside of, you know, if you or staff have thought a little bit outside the box about how that works.
You know, that's a really good question. And it sounds arduous, but I mean, in this particular case, it's been a number of years for this particular permit since it's been renewed. And then prior to that, the other family member, Kulolo'io, theirs was like, just, you know, submit a report, submit the next year's permit. And that one was renewed continuously since the original one was processed. I'm not sure why the Lu'uai family didn't continue renewing theirs. But what happened in this case, which kind of caused us to reboot, was that the senior family members, Robert and Kalei, his son, decided to pass the torch, I guess, in a sense, to Mogul and his brothers and sisters. And so they weren't familiar with the process and then had some questions. So it wasn't necessarily that there was any hindrance or anything different or more difficult for them. It's just a matter of time for them to do the necessary, I guess, talking amongst their family members to see who wanted to continue and who wanted to drop off. And I think that was more of an internal discussion amongst their family that I wasn't really privy to, you know, but there was no loss of contact or any sort of like, you know, presentation and denial or presentation and like, you know, go back and do anything like that. So,
I guess my point is more, you know, we have a you could see how in comparison to, and we've been criticized recently and have some litigation around, you know, environmental impact assessments and waiving the requirements of EISs. And I think just from a holistic perspective, showing that we, you know, are being fair and judicious, I want to feel like we're making it easier for somebody to access their traditional and customary rights for, you know, whatever it may be, making that as easy or easier than some of these other permitting processes. And, you know, I think I just want to say that I know you, you know, appreciate your, you and the work that you and your team do and all the public service from NOFA. So I know Uncle had some strong words for you. I just want to recognize the work that you guys do and also say that I would encourage you all to think about how do we make the defaults of these processes easier for people to navigate.
I think, Peter, the intent of that was based upon Article 12, Section 7, it was intended that this would just, once Uncle Bobby put forth his genealogy, his family connection, that this would just pass on. But you're right. But to a certain extent, there was kuleana that came with that responsibility, right? So the person who was going to exercise that right was going to continue on exercising in a manner consistent with their traditional customary practices. But I think it wasn't intended to be you have to reestablish your right. It was just sort of coming on and saying, okay, I'm willing to take on this kuleana to pass on to my children this practice. But once they established that right, so long as they were ancestrally connected to Uncle Bobby, there was not going to be an additional process except to say, I accept the kuleana to teach my children these rights, these practices.
Yeah, you're correct. There's no reestablishing of the connection. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was a report done in 1998 that established the eligibility criteria for this permit. And it basically identified three families from the Kukuhiko genealogy. And then, you know, the basis of the permit was that their use of the area was interrupted by the creation of the Natural Area Reserve. So that was the real sticking point for this. But no, there's no reestablishing of the, I guess, connection, or that this is or isn't traditional and customary practice. It's just a simple procedural thing of you turn in your report, basically what you guys did, and then ask for the renewal, because the administrative rules for the NARS SUP only allow them to be issued 1 year at a time, which that is also in going to change in this next rule package. So those permits would be able to be issued for longer periods of time, which would address your question. The other thing is too, is we used to pass paper via snail mail kind of methods, and now the permit is actually online. And so once the I think Mogul's already done it, but once you know, for his future renewals and permit submittals, he has an account, and he just, you know, basically resubmits the same thing. But now I think we can do a 5-year timeline, which makes it a lot simpler for them. And I appreciate the chair's experience in this, in the history of this, because it's a really interesting and unique case. And there's a lot of people that would come to us and they, express that concerns and wanting, I guess, take, and we have to refer back to this. So it's good that the chair is already has this history, because that's a really difficult point for us to understand. It's really hard. You know, no practice, I guess, would be even, I guess, scrutinized. It's just because it's the take of a resource in a natural reserve, which is the one of the highest protections in the state, right? I guess that's what warrants the process to begin with. We have plenty of people exercising different practices without a permit, and most of those just have to do with access. It's not necessary.
Yeah. All right, Peter. Well, is there any, are we ready for the motion? Wait, Uncle, you know what?
One minute.
No, Peter, you know what, Uncle? Peter, no, Uncle, you know what?
I apologize to
them. Oh, mahalo for that, Uncle.
I apologize.
Did you hear, Peter?
Yeah, no offense. Yeah. I said
sometimes. Mahalo, Uncle, for that. Thank you. All right, do I call for the motion?
So moved, Chair.
Second. I have a second. I have a motion that's been made and seconded to approve the staff submittal, the staff recommendation.
One quick discussion, which is not related, but since this is the only DOPA item, Peter, please tell your colleagues that remind them that Kawai Nui Marsh would like to have an informational opportunity here. So just since this is the only agenda item, I'm going to flag it. But other than that, let's roll.
Okay. I have one discussion point, Riley.
No, I just wanted to clarify whether we wanted to amend the recommendation to address the public trust and lineal connection that you mentioned.
Yeah.
It should be subject to you.
Mahalo, Uncle. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
I mean, you asked that be included, and I think that was the intent, so I don't want to overlook that.
Yeah, I guess, Peter, I would just say in your board that the Board of Land and Natural Resources approved the proposed access restrictions to portions of a Hihikina'u Natural Air Reserve, Maui, and there's a comma, and I would just add consistent with the public trust doctrine, comma, for a period of up to 2 years. And I think we'll just leave it. You guys are processing the PASH permit, so that's good. So I think just add, I'd like us to have a greater justification, and wherever we can refer to the public trust, I think that's a good thing. So the motion is moved and seconded with that little brief proposed amendment to the recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, sorry. Okay, the next agenda item, is there anyone else?
We have the item, land division, and we still have DOT.
Okay, let's do item D. We have completed A, D. Let's item D, land division. Thank you, Peter. Mahalo. Yeah, Peter. Mahalo for the good work.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Okay. Yep. Okay, so D is land division here?
Yeah, well, they're coming on.
Okay, Gordon. I'm sorry, I got a little carried away there.
We did J2.
He's a good man. Yeah. Appreciate him always being here. Okay, so this is
J1. Did we do J1?
So we'll go back. So we're going in the order now. Back.
J1 and 5.
Still.
Oh yeah. So we're gonna go back to the order of the agenda. Oh, okay. You know what? We're going to take a 5-minute break. I apologize.
Okay. We go too?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Want to go together?
It's violating so many rules.
Kurt? Okay, thank you very much. We're going to go back on the agenda. The next agenda item is agenda item number D1 with Land Division.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you, Russell.
Yeah, D1 is we're coming to the board asking for an amendment to a nonprofit lease. I just wanted to clarify it and request an amendment on it's the board actually has a policy on the minimum rent policy. It includes for nonprofits. And I think the way it's worded now, it's a prevailing policy on leasing for LMS and our organizations, which I think in this case it's applicable, except it is really a nonprofit policy. So I just wanted to clarify that and make the amendment in the submittal, if I may. But I don't have anything else to add. All we're trying to do is have the lease revised on the reopening provision to reflect the then prevailing minimum rent policy of the land. Currently, it's at $480 a year or $40 a month.
Thank you, Russell. Do I have any questions?
I have something.
Yes.
Not necessarily a question, but you know, we've been going through so many comments to the end policies and protocols, et cetera. Russell, do you guys have some kind of policy in place that you check on compliance for nonprofits? You know, because they have the lower rate.
We certainly do at the very inception. And we try to do it as often as we can when it's applicable. Like here, I think we try to, but I think the staff could only get up to a certain year certified by the IRS.
Yeah, because I know that if they don't file their IRS within a 3-year period, that they lose their nonprofit status, right? So is there a way that maybe you guys could check like maybe every 5 years if it's a 10-year lease, you know, 10-year off renewal? That
yes, well, yeah. And typically we, if we can do it ourselves, we definitely can ask the tenant for that information. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions to Land Division? Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded to approve staff recommendation with the minor amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you, Russell. Item D2.
Okay, D2 is it's a request. Actually, bottom line is HECO needs an easement. So we're consenting, the land board is consenting to an easement for HECO on lands that are set aside by governor's executive order to the county of Hawaii. It's pretty much it. It's the easement, just for your knowledge, the easement could have been issued by the board, but in this case, the county is willing to issue it and they're asking the board to consent to that. And it's allowable under 171-11 HRS. So we're recommending approval.
Thank you, Russell. Any questions?
Oh, I think there's somebody. There's
one in the county. All right. We have a member of the public.
John Ando, do you have any questions for him? He's here.
Oh, hello, John. You're with the County of Hawaii?
Yes, top of the afternoon. I'm the Mass Transit Administrator.
Thank you so much for being here and being very patient. Did you want to add anything?
We're just gracious that you're taking this item up for consideration, and we're looking for your approval so we can start electric bus charging as we're working to transition our fleet to zero emissions in accordance with the state's resolution to have our fleet transition to zero emissions by 2045.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Is there another member of the public?
Susanna, did you have any comments, please?
Good afternoon, Deputy Corporation Counsel. Nothing further. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A motion has been made.
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded to approve staff's recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, County of Hawaii, for joining us.
Mahalo.
Okay. Item D3.
Yeah, D3 and D4, if we could take together, because it's kind of related, Chair. D3 is a request to cancel the existing RP or revocable permit issued to Bank of Hawaii for a building out in Hilo. D4 is actually our request to go out to public auction on the very same property, which would be then leased with land and improvements thereon. available for any questions. My staff is also here from Big Island if you have any questions specifically on the site. Yeah.
I guess this is where the Bank of Hawaii initially paid for the building, but they're abandoning it, and so the state is accepting it.
Yes, that's correct. We inspected the property and it looks in very good condition.
Yeah. Including the, why would the state want it, the safe? Because if it leases the property out, is that going to be a difficulty?
Cool.
Well, yeah, Russell, might be pretty hard to remove. If you ever came to Land Division, we have a state, you know, what would otherwise be a safe up in our Land Division. It's called our room where it's we store all our land documents in, and it's supposedly fireproof, or at least I've been told it's fireproof.
As a follow up, though, when it goes out for lease, is there going to be a, since the state owns the building now, is there going to be a demolition requirement?
Well, what we're providing for what we're asking for in our submittal, as we tried to explain, was that we're leaving that up, the extent of amount of whether it's demolition or infrastructure work. We already know that there's a cesspool issue, so that's got to be closed. And actually, there needs to be either a connection to the county sewer or individual wastewater system input. We know that's going to take a substantial amount of funds to do. And they may be wanting to do other improvements as well. And so we cited in our statute, the statute that allows, when you have a brand new lease and they're going to do improvements to the property, the board has a right to allow up to a year worth of fair market rent waiver up to that amount. We're asking for that, but in addition, the statute also allows, in the case where there is a substantial improvement, such as, like you mentioned, Board Member Char, demolition or infrastructure type of work, that they may also get a credit or again, equivalent to a waiver of rent, a fair market rent, up to the cost of all those demolition and infrastructure work improvements, or 20 years of rent, whichever is the lesser amount, Jeff. So we are asking that matter, which we pretty much suspect is gonna be a request that we're gonna come back to the board for asking the board to consent to or waive the rent for a substantial amount. Because we know that the cesspool has gotta be closed and the, at the very minimum, and a system put together, whether it's connection to the county sewer or individual wastewater system. So that should probably bring it up to, you know, a million or more at that point.
Well, I'm sorry. But since it's now the state building as we put it out to lease, at the end of the lease, then the state is going to bear the obligation of removal or demolishment.
It'll contain our most current lease form, which as currently it states that the end of the term, the land board gets to decide whether the improvements can remain or whether the lessee must remove it. Yeah. So that's the current standard.
Even though we own it,
that's the way the lease is currently going to be read. So if you think that's not fair, we can ask the AGs to maybe revise that. Is that something you're considering? Is that perhaps it's not fair to the lessee to ask them to remove the improvements? Because we're letting them use the improvements for the 65-year term, and we're giving them quiet enjoyment for that for the entire period. Their rent will be based on land and improvements. Our lease would provide at the end of the term, again, the same standard provision currently is to let the land board make that decision. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, will there be a provision under the standard terms, notwithstanding the fact that the state owns a building, that we can require the lessee to remove the building at the end of the term?
Yes, that's the standard form.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I just ask a quick question? My gears got turning thinking about the cesspool. And could the new lessee with the in the substantial improvements, can they use credits for like renewable energy, like solar on the building? Is that something that could be contemplated?
Well, the statute was real clear. It's like demolition and infrastructure type work. So it'll have to fit
within that. That would be infrastructure. That would be on-site infrastructure.
If we could, we'd have to look at that. Yeah. But currently the statute, which actually was only passed a few years ago, it was actually an administrative, proposed that legislation, was intended to cover number one, Uncle Billy's, right? So demolition. And to cover, we have a lot of land that is vacant and has zero infrastructure. And that takes a lot of money oftentimes. And so we're trying to cover that situation. If it's correct that the renewable energy or solar could qualify under that terminology, we'd have to look at. But yeah, certainly something that we can consider. Yes.
I would encourage us to think about that interpretation.
Riley, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. So Russell, first one, can you explain the public auction process? Is this open bid or sealed bid? Or
yes, open bid, yes. Not sealed bid. The sealed bid process is not, under 171, it's open bid, like an auction, like a foreclosure auction. Sealed bid is done under 103D. It's a procurement of services, but ours is open, yes.
Got it, thank you. So just a comment. So the original lease between the state and Bank of Hawaii was a ground lease because they built the building, right?
Yes.
And now you're going to go out for a lease that's going to be the land and the structure. So hopefully the value of the lease will be more than what Bank of Hawaii was paying.
Well, the rent. Yeah, we expect the rent to be land and improvements. That's exactly correct.
Got it. Okay, sounds good. And then regarding the existing cesspool, I believe there's a sewer line in Kanoʻelehua that services Prince Kuhio Mall and all that. So fairly simple, I think, for this property to be sewered into the county system because there's a sewer line in the roadway fronting this building. So I don't think it's as big an issue, you know, aside from decommissioning the cesspool, because there's a sewer line you can connect to. You might have to pump to it, but I think easy to connect. So I'm all in favor of this. And then on the security removal, so the provision that you have in there about removing the improvements, it's the same one that you included in the 69 Railroad lease.
I'm sorry, what were you referring to again?
Commissioner Char, Board Member Char asked about the-
Oh, at the end of the term.
At the end of the term, they have to remove the building, okay? It's the same provision that you were including in the lease that was up for the 69 Railroad property. Yes, same provision, right? So
same provision, same standard provision, yes.
I'm good, thank you.
Very good. I just have a question. Russell, do you know when this building was built, the Bank of Hawaii building?
Gordon, Candace, 65 years ago?
1962, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that. And I noticed that SHPD didn't provide a response. Is this a historic building?
No.
Okay. It's 50 years old.
Yeah, by definition, I think it is.
She was hoping that nobody would know. Yeah. That my
previous architectural branch chief said, yes, it is.
You should have brought this to
me. Hey, Russell, you're trying to sneak a by.
My house is a historic building. I should pay taxes on a historic building.
But SHPD didn't opine anything, right?
No.
And I'm pretty sure Banco did not get a historic tax rate. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was.
But we don't have, does this have to go through like the Hawaii County Historic Preservation?
Well, let me correct that. If you're implying that for construction purposes, whether they need the lessee, the winning bidder would need to comply with all, you know, all laws, including SHPD, whatever. Yeah, yeah, and that's certainly correct. Yeah, they'll be complying with that.
Okay. All right. So long as it's very clearly known. All right. Any other questions? Call for the question.
So moved.
Second.
No, we're going to move on
three
on
and four.
Agenda three.
Three
first.
And four.
Okay.
Oh, three. Okay.
We'll do agenda item three first. Okay. So this is a mutual cancellation of the RP
the Bank of Hawaii. A motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now, a motion, do I have a motion for item, agenda item D4?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded for the sale of lease at public auction for the same building, Bank of Hawaii. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much, Russell. We'll move on to agenda item D5.
Okay. Yeah, this should be our last item. D6 was with John, right? Yeah. So yes. D5 is a little bit different. It's a request from the county. And granted, we don't see this very often, so I'll try to explain it as best as I can. As the title reflects, it's a request for the land board to concur with the temporary occupancy exception for this Alawai Bridge project. And within the text of that submittal, we are asking the land board to concur with these findings that was done, the list of one through five, essentially saying is, you know, very minimal and temporary impacts, minimal impacts and temporary usage of the area. And this is in connection with some federal requirement and because the project will be in whole or in part federally funded. And so they're asking the agency with land ownership or kuleana, like the land board, these are state lands that are set aside to the county for this park area, that their project meets these conditions and they're contained on page 2 and 3. And this again is in connection with a federal requirement related to federal funding application from the county. They do intend definitely not to start construction until coming back, if they're successful in getting the federal funding, coming back to the land board and seeking a formal easement for the area, as well as a immediate management construction right of entry before starting construction. So no construction will be done at this point.
Chair, I wanted to just make a disclosure that my consulting firm, Hunani Partners, has been providing support for the city and county on the securing of federal funds for this work. It's part of a philanthropically funded project that we are running, so we don't receive any compensation. So I don't believe that there would be any conflict, but I just did want to disclose.
Appreciate the disclosure. Is there a representative from the city here?
No.
Aloha. Yes, this is Meredith Soniat. Hi. I'm the project manager within the city and county of Honolulu. I'm happy to provide a little more background if you'd like, if you want to just have any specific questions, whatever. No.
Do you have any objections to board member Ames continuing to act on this matter with their disclosure?
I do not have any objection. Thank you for bringing that up. And I honestly don't think I've worked with you directly on that. So yeah, I have the grant application up on my other screen and I'm working on it. So multitasking, appreciate it.
Very good.
I have a question.
Thank you. Yes.
When is this project going to be done? It's an excellent idea.
So we are in the environmental review process. So our draft environmental assessment was published in March of 2021. And this temporary occupancy request is part of the final environmental assessment. So this is something we would need, one of a few outstanding elements that we're working through in order to finish up our final environmental assessment. And we're working towards that for end of this, or sometime this summer. We expect that would be published. And then, you know, once we get to that point, we will start the final design. So we're still a couple of years out. We have funding programmed in federal fiscal year 25. So that's end of 2024, beginning of 2025. It's kind of when the construction is expected to start. Obviously subject to change, but just that's our timeline as of now.
Meredith, can I ask? I know this particular agenda item is referencing section 4F.
Mm-hmm.
Have you completed your section 106 process?
So we're working through 106 right now as well. That's one of the outstanding items. So we're in the consultation for section 106. We do anticipate working through a memorandum of agreement to address the project effect. And that we're working through consultation right now with the SHPO and with our consulting parties.
Okay, so this particular agenda item is just asking for DLNR's concurrence, the board's concurrence on primarily 4F.
Yes, exclusively 4F. So it's not, yes, we're not trying to sidestep the section 106 process. These are just occurring concurrently, and then it will all be wrapped up in the final environmental assessment.
Very good. Thank you for the clarification. Are there any other questions from the board members?
Yeah, so...
he's been waiting.
So the current design in Exhibit A2, that's just, I mean, you guys are way early in the design process, correct? Or is this a tensile bridge is going to be what's contemplated for this type of bridge?
We're actually at 60% design. So we have the proposed project is a concrete cable stay bridge. So it's meaning there's a tower that is a structural tower. And then that's situated on the Malka side in the Alawai community or neighborhood park. And then the design was such that we can have no piers in the water, so no physical obstructions in the canal. So, you know, that might be a question, why is this temporary occupancy if a bridge is permanent? It's the physical impact to the canal is temporary to like being in the canal itself, because we would likely need barges in order just for the time of construction.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Is the bridge going to be a catalyst for future development on the Malka side?
You know, it's not proposed as such. We're thinking, I can't forecast that, to be quite honest. You know, I'm in terms of, we see this as a really great transportation option. You know, you look at the income levels of people on both sides of the canal, actually, and people, there's a high percentage of population who already get around, not in their own personal vehicle, you know, on much higher than, you know, than around the island overall. So we see this as really a way to serve perhaps underserved populations and really create a safe crossing for people. And I guess I didn't mention this earlier, but the bridge is designed explicitly for people walking and biking. This is not a vehicular bridge.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So I really love this project. I bike there almost every day. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Do you have a motion?
I second.
Okay, a motion has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Good luck. Thank you so very much. Right. And thank you very much for joining us and your patience.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we're gonna move on to agenda J1.
Bringing in the M items.
Do you want to do the J? Okay, let's move to M. Okay, thank you, Russell.
Hello, Russell.
Right.
Thank you very much for your team's work.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move to item M. So,
Bobby has M1 through 9, DOT airports.
M1 through 9, okay.
One through eight.
All right, Abby.
Good afternoon. Thank you. You caught me off guard.
I know. So thank you for your patience.
I'm here today for M1 through M8. Okay. Any questions that you may have, I'm happy to help you answer them.
Go ahead.
I just want to comment on item M4 that Abby was able to confirm with me offline that this revocable permit will enable the permittee to comply with FAA regulations. So I just want to acknowledge, thank you, Abby, for clarifying that issue. So I'm all good.
Thank you.
And board member Riley Smith, I greatly appreciate
your diligence in reviewing these matters. Any other questions for Abby's on agenda items M1 through M8?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded to approve items M1 through M8. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Abby, for your patience.
Thank
agenda
you.
Agenda items M1 through 8 have been approved.
Olivia Chan for DOT Harbors, M9 and 10.
Hi, Olivia Pham from DOT Harbors. I'm just here to answer any questions regarding M9 and M10.
Okay. Do I have any questions from the board members for M9 or M10?
I just had a quick question about what's in the shipping containers in describing it.
So it's just like equipment that they use. So PNR helps like taxi in vessels into the harbor. So they have some boats over at 14. And so it's just storage of just like necessary equipment. So they need like dunnage and stuff.
Okay, but there's not like any hazardous materials or anything stored in that. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm happy to move to approve 9 and 10. Okay. There's no other.
There's a motion to move. A second. Motion has been moved and seconded to approve items M9 through M10. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion has been approved. Thank you so much for your attention. Does Sea Engineering have a tow vessel that can tow out a boat?
They have a lot of vessels. I'm sure they have one at least.
We thought we could find one in your warehouse over there or something. Okay. I'm just joking. This has been a long day for us.
Yeah, no worries. Have a good weekend.
Very good. Thank you for your patience. I have the last item is we'll do agenda item M11. And this is actually a land division.
Well, kind of, sort of, but it's considered an other.
Okay.
Because it's DOD.
Okay, so who's going to do this?
It's Stuart Tomasa.
Okay, Stuart, thank you for your patience.
Hey, aloha, Chair Chang and board members. I'm Stuart Tomasa. The Hawaii Army National Guard is requesting a revocable permit for the Hawaii County Civil Defense to occupy space at Keakaha Military Reservation on the Big Island. That's for them to conduct day-to-day operations and emergency response missions until their renovations of their county offices are complete. So I spoke to Mr. Talmadge Magno. He's the Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator, and he expects their renovations to be completed later this year, probably in the May to June timeframe, you know, depending on the punch list. So it might extend a little bit beyond that. But you know, we're both hoping that it's done by then. Thank you.
Have any questions by the board members? Have a motion?
So moved.
Motion has been second. Moved and second.
You have another person, Wade.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wade Ishii?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm with Stuart. Just no comments from me. He said everything properly, perfectly.
It's late in the afternoon. We get it. We thank you for being here and both of your patience.
Thank you.
Has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. Shall we go back? Yep. Ms. Ferrer, we are.
Richard Howard, where do you go?
Okay. We're going to move back to items J, the J calendar. Do we have our Richard? Agenda item J1. Okay. Oh, you're on mute, Richard.
Bottom left-hand side of your computer.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks. Can you hear me now?
Oh, wow, Richard.
It's been a long day.
Try sitting on this side of the table.
Go ahead, Richard. J1.
Okay, sorry about that. Item J1 is a continuation of a revocable permit for a parking concession issued to Secure Parking. Oh, first of all, let me amend this item. It should be Secure Parking Hawaii LLC rather than as stated in the submittal, Secure Parking LLC. So this is for the parking concession over at Ma'alaya Small Boat Harbor. And we are in the process, we're very close to getting the request for interest together to publish and get obviously interest from parking vendors so that we can select somebody with whom we can negotiate a lease or an agreement. But the revocable permit is coming up at the end of the month, so we need to get that continued.
So this is sort of similar to the outfitters. You're doing an RP pending the lease.
Well, it's not a lease. It's a parking concession, but Act 163 from last year's legislative session allows Dobor to enter into a direct negotiation with a parking vendor rather than using HRS 102. So that's what we're going to do. And so rather than just pick a vendor to negotiate with, what we're doing is putting out a request for interest. And so all interested parties can submit information, and then we'll choose one, go back to the board, get that choice approved, and negotiate a lease or negotiate a concession agreement with that vendor.
You're still in Chapter 102. It's just you don't have to go through public.
Right. Option. I'm sorry. You're correct. But we don't have to go through the process of doing a the whole process of, you know, advertising it and select and getting interested parties.
Chair, can I just ask that our AG, so the to confirm that this was noticed correctly, because the full name of the company, Secure Parking Hody LLC, is included on the agenda. Correct. And then as Richard noted, the in the subject of the submittal, it's missing one word, but we don't have any issues moving ahead with a decision on this.
It's the agenda that counts for the Sunshine Law, not the submittal.
Thank you.
For that clarification.
Robert, how long is a concession to the successful bidder?
We can make it as long as we want. There's no Act does not stipulate a minimum or maximum period for the term of the agreement.
Okay, thank you.
That's incorrect.
I am.
Richard, you're not having a good detail.
I'm not.
63 extended the concession lease from 15 years to 25.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought there was a.
But we're not gonna go that long.
Okay.
Just until I retire, then we'll. Could be and sooner that, than
we're
later.
We're just all having a really informal day here. Hopefully there's no members of. Now, Richard, are you planning to add any new parking on the concession?
We might add a little bit of parking if we can squeeze it out, but we might lose some parking because there's two dirt lots that the state acquired through eminent domain. And the lower dirt lot, the Coast Guard has expressed interest in using that to build a facility. So right now it's being used for parking, and it might, once they get everything together, we might have to take that out of parking.
Okay. I guess the reason I ask is also, it's when you are looking at the concession, most of these you have come with a 343 exemption. But if we are going to do something more than what's already existing, I would ask that we really look at the 343 requirements more carefully.
Okay, understood. The areas that if we do add anything are used, they're not, they're paved areas that just aren't being used for parking.
Okay. All right, any other questions, Riley?
I said one question. Richard, I'm looking at exhibit A-2 and I see that there are three defined areas of parking, permitted parking, paid parking, trailer parking. So is there any place that the public can park without being charged?
Trailer, if they're fishers, they can use the trailer parking if they're launching a boat from the boat ramp. Otherwise, no.
Okay. You know, I'm not sure that's a problem, but every time I see about Ulawai Boat Harbor and parking and tow trucks circling around until the meter goes off or something, I'm just wondering if this is a sensitive issue for folks on Maui.
So I did have a comment. So I know that people are parking at the Maui Ocean Center, but they're charging parking now for parking over there. So they really have nowhere to park. I don't know how they do it.
People who are using the harbor.
So where are these tourists parking? Unless they get dropped off by tour buses.
There's the paid parking in Ma'alawa.
That's about it, though. That's it.
Yeah.
Not much.
But do I hear Member Smith's comment about the, you know, the public parking, and yes. And I would like to see Dobar's plans, your parking plans for the facilities, because I know you are, there are paid parking, but there's also, you know, we have members of the public that are using our parking for appropriate uses or inappropriate uses, but do we have, are we planning, or what is the policy on free parking?
Of our two lots that we're charging, that we have a parking plan for, Ma'alaya, Lahaina, and Alawai. Alawai is the only one with any free parking. There's not a lot of stalls at Ma'alaya to begin with. So there is no free parking.
Have we had complaints from the public that there's no free parking?
I have not heard any. I'd have to check with our Maui district manager to see if he's heard any.
And the parking at the Ma'alaya is really designed for patrons of Ma'alaya Harbor, right?
Yes.
So it's not intended for employees of businesses or Maui Ocean Center as a parking lot. Okay.
No.
But Member Kanto, have you received any concerns or comments?
As a visitor of Maui Ocean Center, I have heard a lot of complaints that they have to walk a ways to get over to see the end of the pier.
Yeah. Here. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, they have their tow boats and, you know, drop off people and stuff. But but they've since, as recent as a few months ago, I believe they changed to paid parking. So they too have exhausted all those, you know, free parking, free pass type of thing. So
I'll express that probably very unpopular opinion that I think parking should be paid. We don't, I mean, especially if we're thinking about discouraging, you know, vehicle miles traveled and individual car trips and the emissions associated with them. We need to figure out how to get people from place to place in other ways. So I know paid parking is regressive for low-income people, and I think it'd be great for us to figure out a way to address that. But also I think it's important that people pay to put their cars in a piece of land that could be used in a lot of other, I would argue, more beneficial ways. Go paid parking. Yay.
Brandon?
I just wanted to
solicit a different point of view?
Point and cross point.
Well, no, okay. So state parks, Hapuna Beach Park, Wailea Beach Park, residents free, tourists pay. And my wife and I go there every weekend and we don't pay. We go to the beach, we hang out for an hour or two and we split. But all the tourists that just come in get charged $15 a car and $5 per person. So I think locals should have a benefit because we pay real property taxes. We pay general excise taxes that go to support government services. So I think there should be some benefit for residents that support local government.
And in those areas, there's actually a parking attendant that
comes. Or it's a kiosk and you put the thing on your car.
And how do they know that you're a resident?
The Wahini over there just kind of scrutinizes you.
Now, Kaivi wouldn't be able to get a free parking pass there.
I got to throw it out my hair.
Some of these attendants are larger than me. So
okay.
I don't think they get a lot of pushback.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
So, Chair, with that, if there are no more comments, I'll
thank
move
you.
To
well said. Well, a motion has been made. Do I have a second?
Oh, as amended, I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me, as amended. Thank you very much, second. Attorney General. Motion has been made, seconded with amendments. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Agenda item J5
is the mutual cancellation of revocable permit number BM-12051 issued to Maalai Charters. And we're also asking the board to waive the requirement for the permittee to conduct a phase one environmental site assessment. The reason we're asking for the waiver is because they use the site solely as a ticketing office and they didn't use any kind of hazardous materials or anything at the site. And so we're asking for the phase one to be waived.
I have a question. So are they taking the structure with them?
We've asked them to remove the structure. You know, our district, our Maui district manager mentioned that he might have somebody interested in it, but we've never gotten an application from that entity.
Okay. And they're not disputing the cancellation. Business is just, I mean, we're not terminating anyone. It's just mutual agreement to cancel.
Yeah. The permittee is having problems with staffing. And so he can't really open as much as he likes. So he's wants to get out of it and we're willing to allow him to close.
Could you put a public parking stall there?
Maybe one.
Okay. Do I have any other questions, Riley? Yes.
So, you know, typically in land dispositions, if a lessee leaves the site, you know, they're obligated to make sure that the site is being left in the condition that you obtained it in. And so if we waive the person leaving from doing a phase one, Richard, will you be requiring whoever might be interested in that property to do a phase one?
Well, I see what you're getting at, but this is, I believe, how many square feet? It's 144 square feet. So it's such a tiny, if he removes the kiosk, we're probably not going to replace it with anything.
Okay, you know, and my only point is from a chain of custody point of view, if somebody leaving doesn't have to say it's clean and the person who's coming is going to assume it's clean and you're not going to require a phase one, but then maybe you find that there's an issue, who do you go after? The new guy that just rented it or the old guy who didn't do a phase one?
Right. I understand your point. But as I said, what I expect to happen is that the permittee will remove the booth and we will not enter into any sort of disposition for that area.
What would it be used for then?
I think we probably, honestly, I think we could get some parking over there.
Yeah, I guess I would just say that this doesn't feel like the particular item that I want to die on, but but I do feel like since I've been on the board that we have, I don't know that there's ever been a time that we haven't waived the requirement to perform a phase one assessment. And so I understand you're saying it's 144 square foot structure. Again, I don't think that's the hill I want to die on, but I do think that the process exists for a reason, as Member Smith said. And so I'm willing to go along with the staff approval on this particular item, but I would just like to see us be very thoughtful about meeting both the letter and spirit of this requirement going forward.
Actually, looking at I'm looking at the Google Earth image of the area. It would probably, in all likelihood, just be returned to landscaping because it's just,
It's
just built on a grassy area.
The building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're just going to cut and abandon the electrical supply line.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Chair. Yes. Move to approve staff submittal as written.
Second.
I sense a real reluctance at the end of the day. And I think I'm hearing
Richard. Richard is
and, no, no. And Richard, you're just but I mean I would expect at least staff inspection of the site and at least a surface confirmation that there's not this huge hole under there where they're pumping diesel fuel in or something, right?
Yeah, we can do that. I'll make sure we get that done.
All right. There's been a motion. Go ahead.
No, we can amend the approval to make sure that, ask staff.
Restore the site, okay, and do a site. And if you have to put a little tent over there, Richard, and that's where you're going to be living, for sure. Personal commitment is good.
A doghouse is fine over there.
That's what I was thinking myself. All right, a motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Vernon is holding his hand tight. He's trying not to oppose.
Richard, can we go back to J2?
Yeah. As you can see, I think that is Ms. Ferrer, is that our last agenda item? We better escape. Richard, you should leave now before you get called back.
Have a nice weekend, everyone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Okay. Yeah, bye-bye. Okay. This concludes our business. Is there any further business before us?